taking a ride on the freedom train. I am Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me is my good man Patrick Irvin. Like to give a shout out to Mr. Jamie Fashawn. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org, and that's pactsinc.org. And while you're online, you make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to listen to your playback of your favorite shows and learn more about us. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _FreedomTrain. Like our Facebook Freedom Train page, and make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train on either iTunes or Google Play. And that way you can get the episodes coming right to your phone. You don't have to go around looking. We made it a real convenient for you. So, Patrick, what's going on? I see Jamie joined the line, that other co-host. Jamie, what's going on? How y'all doing today?
Not much. How y'all doing, fellas?
Good. We got a good show today. We're gonna learn a lot more about being authors, about being publishers. We have somebody, Ms. Barbara Jo Williams. She is an amazing person I met, and I had to interview her. I've been following along her for like the last, I guess you could say, 2 years. I've been kind of peeping in and seeing everything that she's doing, and she's been doing great things. So we had to have her on the show. So without further ado, I would like to introduce everyone to our guest, Ms. Barbara Jo Williams. How are you doing today, Ms. Barbara?
Hello.
I had to get our studio audience to give you some love.
Oh, thank you. I love it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being here with us today.
No problem. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. So, like I say, we're happy to have you on because we get to learn a lot more about writing, about being an author, about being a publisher, more in depth about the whole, everything that goes into this whole publishing industry. So before we get into our questions, you mind giving our audience a little brief background information about yourself, and then we'll get into the interview so we can learn more about you in depth.
Well, let me see. I started writing my first book in the fall of 2003, and it was published in November 2004, titled Forgive Us This Day. And I guess I started out, you know, once I finished the book, I sent it to some people to look at, and they liked it. And one friend told me that, hey, you need to try and get this published. And she said, but you need an editor, you know, before you do that. Mm-hmm. So I went that route, got it edited. And, of course, you know, I thought it was great. I sent it out to about 30 or 40 different publishers and agents thinking I was going to get a book deal. And, of course, you know what happened. I got those standard rejection letters.
Mm-hmm.
But about a handful of those publishers took the time to write me a letter or write me a note saying that this was really good, but you need to work on the ending. Or this was really good, but this character needed more. Or this was really good, but it's just not what we're looking for right now. So, you know, I took all of that feedback that they gave me and revised my story. And instead of sending it out to another 30 or 40 agents, I just decided to publish it for myself.
Okay.
And so that was the first book in 2004, and since then I have published a total of 22 books, some novels, some self-help, a couple of anthologies, and a couple of nonfiction books, and I've also helped at least about 40 other authors get their books published and out there.
Okay.
So all in all, it's been really, you know, 12 years that I've been out here working, you know, writing and publishing, and I just love it. I love working on my own. I love helping other people to write and publish and learn about the business, and that's pretty much where I am.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Patrick, you know how we do it. You got the first question. Let's get into this interview so we can learn a little more. Hope you got your notes out, people.
22 books.
Right.
22?
Yeah, 22 books in 12 years. But, you know, they're not all novels. About half of them are novels, and some of them are self-help books, you know, about 100 pages, and a couple of nonfiction titles, and a couple of anthologies.
Still a whole lot of writing.
Yeah, that's a great feat. That's a great feat.
Yeah, that's a lot of writing. You have to love to write to be a writer, so I've been writing.
So what inspired you to start writing? Like, why did you choose to become a author? Like, what, you know, what led you down that path to begin?
Oh, well, you know, I've always wanted to write. It's just something that I felt like I really couldn't do. But, you know, this particular time, I think, was, like I said, the fall of 2003. And I love to read romance novels, and I've always read, love to read romance books. So I was looking for, you know, a particular book. I was looking for a romance novel centered around a married couple. And at that time, I couldn't find anything. The only thing I could find were books about single women that were being dogged out by men, and, you know, male bashing books. And I was like, well, you know, that's not what I really want to read. You know, I really would like to read a book about a married couple who's struggling to stay together. They're having some problems or whatever, because at that time I had been married 20 years, and that's what I was going through. And that's what most of my friends that I knew were going through. So I wanted to read something about some positive male figures. So I was sharing that with a friend, and she told me, well, why don't you write it then? You know, why don't you write about that? And I was like, you're right. Why don't I write about that? So that's really how it started. And I just took the idea that I had for the story and just started writing. And that's pretty much how I got started.
Yeah. Now, what I love about that is all of the authors that we have interviewed, you know, everybody has taken their individual paths to get to where they are, but they all say the same thing. At some point, you just have to start writing. Like, this is what you have. This is what you want to do. Just start. Just pick it up and just start writing. And, like, everybody says that, so it has to be true. And that's, you know, author myself.
Thank you.
You know, one day you just start doing it.
Thank you. One day you just sit down. You just start thinking about it. When my friend told me that, she was like, "Barbara, you can write this. The best idea you have for a book. Why don't you write it?" So, you know, I thought about it and I said, "You know what? You're right." So that night, what I did was I prayed that night before I went to bed. The next morning, I got up, I turned on my computer, and I just started writing down every idea I had for this book. I wasn't concerned about an outline. I wasn't concerned about the chronological order. I just had all these ideas in my head, and I just spent the next two or three days every day just writing down the idea. Once I got all the ideas out of my head, then I started trying to put it together into a story that made sense.
Right, right, yeah.
Okay.
It's you got to do it. You have to do it. That's
the best.
And, you know, and that's like with anything in life. Just start doing it, and no matter, you know, if you might not even have the best equipment, just start doing it. You never know what will come out of it. So,
that's right.
So before you go on,
I have a friend. She told me, you know, she borrowed a typewriter to type her story. She used the ironing board for a desk.
Right.
You know, you do what you got to do.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Quick question, ma'am. You were talking about you wrote the book because you had your own personal experiences. How did that help you connect with the book? Because I would think if I'm writing a book, you know, about my own personal experiences, I'm going to get put a lot of me in there. I wouldn't want to put a lot of me in there. How did you approach that, and what level of comfort did you have to build up to really talk about your own personal experiences?
Well, I mean, it was my personal experience, but it was combined with other people that I knew because, you know, like I said, at that time, I had been married for 20 years. Most of my friends were married and had been married, you know, for years. And we all read romance novels. That was the thing that we had in common. But we were reading romance novels about single people. So, you know, I just looked at some of the situations that I had gone through and we had gone through and came up with this fictional couple, you know, and gave them some problems in a situation that they needed to work through. So
okay. That's
how that came about. Yeah, so the basis, yes, it did have some of me in it. And I think that's for every author. You're going to have some of you in every book. But at some point, you know, your creativity and your imagination takes over. Your life gives you the base, but the creativity gives you the story.
Ooh, I like that. That was hot. I like that line. That was good. I like that.
So,
all right, you can use it. You can use it.
Yeah, charge them 25 cents every time you use it.
Yeah.
So, So, as you said, you published your first book, Forgive Us This Day, in 2004. So can you give us a little more information about the book? And did you have any plans of building the empire that you have right now when you were writing your first book? Or is this is the empire you have now something that came along later?
What was the first question you asked me to tell you about the book?
Yeah, give us a little information about Forgive Us This Day.
Okay, well, like I said, Forgive Us This Day was based on a married couple who were trying to adopt a child, but they were having some personal issues, and they ended up separated. But even though they were separated, they loved each other, and they wanted to get back together. But other people kept coming between them to the point where it looked like they were not going to get back together. Okay. So that was the basis of the story in 2004. Now, the thing about this story is that in 2014, I rewrote the book and called it Forgive Us This Day Anniversary Edition, because that was my 10th anniversary.
Right.
So I kind of rewrote the story and updated it again and published it again with a new cover and updated storyline and all of that, and it got picked up by USA Today. It got reviewed by someone from USA Today and ended up being in their paper.
Okay. So, I have to ask this. When you saw that your book was being written about in the USA Today, how was your excitement level? What did that do for you as a writer? How did that help boost your confidence?
Well, that was just off the chain, because I was totally shocked when the reporter, I think she emailed me, and she said she was reading the book and she was enjoying it, and she'll get back to me when she was done. And I'm like, oh, okay, she's probably not going to like the book or whatever. I wasn't worried about it. But then about a week later, she came back and she said that, oh, I finished the book. I loved it. And, it's going to be, I'm going to write it up, and it's going to be in the paper, the online version or whatever her column was. She has a romance column that she does online. So she told me that it was going to be in there. So, I was super excited. I did my email blast and my phone calls and all of that.
Yes.
But, and of course that boosted my confidence. But back to the other part of the question, when I wrote that book and published that book in 2004, I intended for that to be my only book. It was like, hey, I'm doing this one book. I got this one story in me. I'm trying to get it out here. And that's it. I didn't have any intentions of publishing a second book or publishing other people or any of the things that came after that.
Uh-huh.
But what happened after the first book, people started asking me, when's the second book coming out? And I'm like, what second book? I didn't say anything about a second book.
Right.
So that's how that came about. So people kept asking about the characters that were in the book, secondary characters. Well, you got these secondary characters that, what happened to them? So I started thinking, and that's how it grew. One book grew into number two, and number two grew into number three. And even though, some of the characters are intertwined, each book is a standalone book. It's not a series. Each book is a standalone.
Okay. Okay, that's pretty cool. All right.
So, how did you manage... I know you said you were creative. I'm still stuck on the 22 books part. I'm gonna be.
Okay, you gotta get past the 22 books. Remember, it came one book at a time. You have to remember now. If people look at 22 books, but you have to think it only came one book at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your because you mentioned earlier about the different types of books they were. So, what's your favorite type of book to write in terms of genre and why?
Well, I think I said, my favorite is romance, because that's what I've always read. I got my love of reading from my mom, and my mom used to read these colorful romance novels. That's all she read. So, as a teenager, of course, I read her Harlequin romance books, even though I wasn't supposed to. That's what I read in my room at night. I read her books. So then, that's how I started writing romance books. And when I decided to write, hey, you got to write what you love to read. How you become successful, by, writing what you love to read. So I had experience writing romance novels. I mean, not experience writing, but from all my years of reading romance novels, I figured I could write a decent one.
And so when you go about writing a book that's in the genre different from the romance genre, is there like a different creative process you go through, or does it all just kind of flow out the same?
No, it's a different process because it requires more research, you know. If I write a different genre, or if I'm writing a self-help book, or if I'm writing for an anthology that's not romance, then, of course, it's going to require me to step out of my comfort zone and do some research.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, see, that's a key word, and because we know that research is something that a lot of people don't do like they're supposed to do these days. So we appreciate you, you know, letting people know research is very important. So.
That's right. It's very important. Even when you're doing fiction, you know, some things, even though the creativity flowed, there were things that I still had to research to make sure that, you know, it was believable.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good tip. So, over your years as an author, what do you feel is the most important lesson that you've learned as an author that has helped you become as successful as you are today?
Okay, the most important lesson is be true to myself and don't try to imitate someone else.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I didn't set out to try and be the next Terry McMillan. I wanted to be the first Barbara Jo Williams.
Okay.
And what that means is that, you know, I'm not trying to write what's hot, because at the time, you know, the vampire stories were really hot, and somebody told me, well, you ought to write a vampire story. Or, you know, the urban books got popular. Somebody said, oh, you need to write an urban book. And I'm like, no, that's not me. You know, that's not, I don't like vampires. I don't watch vampire movies. I don't read vampire books. So I'm not going to try and write a story about a vampire just because it's hot and it's what's selling now. So, you know, the best, most important lesson I've learned is just try to be me and write what's in my heart the best that I can.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I mean, that's a great piece of advice, because I know a lot of times people do try to step outside of their comfort zone because other people are saying you need to do this, or they're looking at the market. And so because, you know, it's being that this is the information age, so much information is out there, so you never know who you're really getting information from sometimes, especially if you're new to the field. So you can be bombarded with all this information and then trying to go down these lanes, and like you say, you're not being true to yourself, and you're stepping so far outside of your comfort zone, it just don't even feel right, so the book doesn't flow.
Yeah, exactly. And some people do that for the money. You know?
Right.
So if you're writing for the money, then, you know, maybe you can do that. There's nothing wrong with stepping outside your comfort zone, but you shouldn't just do it for the money or because that's what's hot.
Yes, ma'am. Alright.
So was there a book that you wrote that you knew while writing it was going to be a bestseller? Or is that something that's not even in your mind when you're writing?
It's not even in my mind when I'm writing. The only thing in my mind is just making the book the best that I can make it. I'm not thinking about a bestsellers list or anything like that.
Okay.
And when it did happen, I was totally surprised. I can't remember what number of book it was. It wasn't number two. It wasn't number three. I can't remember what number it was that finally did make the bestsellers list, and I really can't say what made it make the list. I just think that it was time.
Okay. But once again, though, that's for new authors. Like still people like myself and other new authors that I know, because being that we're still learning how to be better at what we're doing, you sometimes have these expectations in your head and you're looking at other people. And I think a lot of times new authors don't take a step back and realize, like you saying, you know, I wrote 22 books, but this was over a period of time. So can't just look at the end. And then I think a lot of times we concentrate on the end goal, or concentrate on where you are now, and forget, like with you saying that, you know, it wasn't my first, second, third, or maybe not even my fourth book that was a bestseller, but it eventually became a bestseller. That's encouraging to a lot of authors, to let them know, just keep writing, just keep doing what you're doing, because eventually where you're trying to get to, you'll get there.
Exactly. Eventually you'll get there. If you keep putting out quality products and promoting yourself, eventually you'll get there.
Yes, ma'am.
But I guess what's so impressive, why I'm stuck on it, is more than the fact that it's a large number of books, because it is. But just the fact that, so many people start so many things and never finish them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to, like, books. And the fact
that
you started and finished 23
right.
times.
Right.
Like, that's the part to me that is just so special and so impressive. It's, you know, like, I know dozens and dozens, literally dozens of people that have started a book. And they started it 12 years ago, and they still got maybe 3 pages. And, you know, so it's just like the fact that you started and finished 22 times.
And what you just said, that is the reason why I push people so hard to try and finish that first book. Because once you finish that first book and publish it, your confidence level will go really high, because
yes.
you know that you can do it. And if you did it once, you can do it. It's easier to do the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I tell people the best way to promote a first book is with the second book.
I like that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Because then you get two for the price of one. You get two. You know, you get two readers.
Right, right, right. That's true. That's true. So, in addition to being an amazing author, you're also a book publisher, but you're also a copy editor, a proofreader, and a publishing consultant. I know most people are more familiar with being an author and a book publisher, but not as familiar with the copy editor, the proofreader, and the publishing consultant. So, can you give us a little breakdown of why being a copy editor, why having a copy editor, proofreader, and a publishing consultant is important?
Okay, well, let me step back and say this again. You know, it started out as an author, and
mm-hmm.
then I became a self-publisher,
mm-hmm.
and then I branched out to publishing other people.
Okay.
And then just maybe last year, within the last year and a half, is when I started doing the copy editing and the proofreading. Because last year I decided to concentrate more on the business side
okay.
of publishing. And that included the consulting and the copy editing and the proofreading.
Okay.
So after 22 books, you know, the creativity starts to go down a little bit. So I started looking at the other side. I started looking, hey, I still got this business. I got this other side, and I had other people coming to me constantly needing advice and consulting. I said, well, let me take some time out and work on this. And then that's when the next thing led into editing. Somebody said, oh, I need a proofreader. I started proofreading. And then somebody came to me and said, oh, I need to edit. Can you try to edit? And I said, yes, I can. And then next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call from J.L. King. Talking about he's starting this magazine in Atlanta, and somebody recommended me as an editor.
Wow. Jack, congratulations. You know what? Our studio audience got to show you some love on that, because that... That's, there you go. Got to show you some love. No, but that's amazing.
Well,
thank
you. I appreciate that. So that's why I tell people, you know, one thing at a time. You know, you just need to get started. That's why it's so important to get started, because if you get started and you're on the right path, you know, other roads are going to open up to you. You just have to be ready when they open up.
Yes, ma'am. No, I really appreciate your words right now, because, like I say, I know a lot of people who are either authors now, new authors, or people who want to be authors, and I think that the information that you're giving, and not just the information that you're giving, but the passion that you have behind the information that you're giving, it's going to help a lot of people who hear this, and it's going to inspire a lot of people to say, you know what, I can do this, and, you know, people, you know, you are somebody who, for me, that... I can say, well, I know I can do it, because I'm literally witnessing you do what you do, so you're just helping reinforce that, okay, I can do this as well.
Exactly.
So,
And I also have it laid out for you, because I have a book, A Writer's Guide to Publishing and Marketing, 10 Steps to Publishing Your Book. So I have everything laid out in the book, so it's easy to follow.
Okay. Okay. Well, y'all, people, remember, you got to check her out and check out her books. And if that's the path you want to take, she has the information already for you. So
I got everything already laid out. I have copy editors in the book. I even have different publishers in the book and proofreaders and you know, everything that you need to get your book out there. But all of that is important to the success of a book, you know, the editing, proofreading, the beta readers, the consulting, mm-hmm. because you want your book to be quality. And right. You can't skip any steps if you want a quality product.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So as a book publisher, because that's, I know that's something that we hear about, but now since technology and things now have changed, you're starting to see a rise in other people who are publishing books and not necessarily these major publishing houses. So can you give us a breakdown of what a book publisher is and like the different duties and the roles the publisher play and how the publisher actually plays into the success of the author?
Well, the publisher is the one who takes the manuscript, the draft, or whatever, and walks you through the process to make it a published book that's available to the public for purchasing. So, you know, that's what the publisher does. You know, mm-hmm. takes your manuscript, make sure you got the cover, make sure it's formatted properly, make sure it's edited properly. You know, you just go through these quality control channels to make sure that the finished product is a good book that you stand behind and that you're going to help promote and market. And that's where the success comes in. You know, when I take on an author, it's like you're going through boot camp with me. You know, I'm teaching you mm-hmm. everything I know about the publishing process. I'm telling you everything I'm doing to market. I'm teaching you how to market your book. I'm teaching you how to get on social media and promote yourself. So, you know, all of that is part of what I do as a publisher to okay. help, you know, my clients have success.
Okay, okay. Give us a little insight, because, like I say, it's something – it's still something new for a lot of us as far as what the publisher does. All we know is we kind of look at the publisher as, if you want to put it in music terms, as the record company or whatever. So
exactly.
I guess you can.
Yeah, okay. Publisher is the record company. You know, they take your song and turn it into an album or a CD
okay.
or download or whatever. You know, that's basically what the book publisher does. It takes that rough draft and walk you through the process of getting turned into a paperback book or an e-book or whatever that can be purchased by the public.
Okay. Okay. Good info.
So, in the age of self-publishing and modern technology,
mm-hmm.
do you see, like, is the value of a publisher being diminished nowadays, do you think?
I think it has been diminished, because you see, a lot of people think it's so easy to publish now, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. A lot of people think that, you know, now they don't need a publisher, or they don't need guidance from a publisher. All they need to do is finish the book and upload it to Amazon, and they're done. And it's just not that simple. You know, like I said, there are certain steps that you need to go through, you know, registration, book cover, editing process, back and forth. You know, all of that takes time. And I think, like you said, a lot of people are not doing that now, and it's showing in the quality of some of the books that we're seeing.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to co-sign that real quick, because one of my side hustles has been audio, you know, reading books for,
mm-hmm.
like, Audible and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the books that I get to read are so horrible, for lack of a better word.
Mm.
I mean, literally, there is no better word for it. I mean, you have grammatical errors, whole pages missing punctuation, misspellings all over the place.
Oh my goodness.
You have write books where you have an entire section where the author just went off on a tangent that had nothing to do with anything, really. So it was interesting as I'm listening to you talk about the various different steps that people need to go through. I had never really compared the, I looked at it from the reference point of if these people had gone through a publisher or a publishing agency or something, anything, you know, they wouldn't have these books that are already in the marketplace, you know, that I'm trying to read through to get put up on Audible, making me look like an idiot. I'm like, I sound like I can't reading this.
I hear you. Or at least, you know, do the consulting part. If you're going to self-publish, you need to do your research and at least consult with someone who has already published more than one book.
Right. Right. Yeah, and like you said, I do think people say, well, hey, this is something I should just do because I want to do it. And they don't, like you said earlier,
exactly,
don't go back and do the research and look at and study the market and all these things before they go about doing things. So.
Yeah, you'd be amazed at how many people come to me after the book is published to say, oh, I didn't know this. I was just trying to get my book out. I didn't know I needed this. I was just trying to get my book out. But, okay, but you should have consulted with somebody who has published a book.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. I know I learned my things I need to learn on the way. Took my lumps and my bumps and bruises. But you're right. I mean, you. But that's why I'm joining the Tallahassee Authors Network, and I will be there this Saturday. So because my next way, because I'm not making those same mistakes again. So I'm learning as much as I can.
Exactly. Come on out. We're going to be meeting Saturday at
the
Eastside Library at noon.
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am, I got a quick question. As of 22 books, you kind of mentioned that, you know, the creativity might not all be there and whatnot. I know I'm nowhere near, you know, having your pedigree of this books-wise, but, you know, I write poems and stuff every now and again. And sometimes it takes me actually studying somebody else's work or listening to something else to draw that inspiration. Is there one particular book or piece of work that really makes you, you know, bring out that creative part of you and makes you want to get back and start writing a certain author or a certain book? Is there anything like that for you?
No, there's nothing like that for me. You know, like I said, I read a lot of romance, but when I really want something to spark my creativity, I read something that I don't normally read. You know, like I might read a mystery book, or I might read a sci-fi book, or, you know, something different. That's usually what sparks my creativity.
There you go. Okay. Now, that's interesting,
because,
like, you know, every... Yeah, go ahead.
And that's why I like editing different people, because when I edit different books, that gives me, you know, different genres to look at, and that usually sparks my creativity, too.
All right, because I think I'm weird because I do stuff like that. I'll watch an awkward movie that's like black and white,
exactly,
something that I normally wouldn't watch, and it'll just help me come up with new ideas. Okay, I'm not
that's
weird after all.
I mean, I can't keep reading romance novels and come up with new ideas for romance novels. I got to
write
something different and then figure out how I can add it into a romance novel.
Okay, all right, I see. I like your process.
Okay, well, you sound like you're on the right track, too.
I'm trying, but you know, I did that, and my wife, she always said, like, why do you watch this? I'm like, it just helps me write. It helps me come up with new ideas.
Yeah.
Even I did research
papers.
I would watch like just some old lame movie, and it might not make sense, but it just helped me come up with ideas. So to hear somebody else say that just lets me know I'm not as weird as my wife thinks I am. So
that's cool. Oh man. So
that's funny.
As a publisher and an author and an entrepreneur and somebody who has literally made their own way, built their own empire, for those of us for those who are listening and those of us who are still learning this, what were some of the obstacles that you had to face and how did, I guess you could say, you could, one of the biggest obstacles you had to face, and how did you overcome that obstacle?
Well, I guess the biggest obstacle that I face, and what stops a lot of authors, is, you know, financial.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes money. You know, it takes money to publish a book, especially back in 2004. It doesn't take as much money now to self-publish as it did in 2004. So, you know, that was a real barrier, you know, back then, was trying to get the money together to be able to publish a quality book the way that I wanted. And the way that I did that was just I did a little bit at a time. You know, some people now, they write a book and they want it out next month.
Right.
I knew that wasn't going to happen. You know, I started, like I said, I started writing my book in late 2003. I finished it in January or February, but my book wasn't published until November.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I had to save some money. I had to get a business license. I had to get some, had to get a new computer. I had to get some business supplies. You know, I had to pay an editor. So I just did a little bit each month. You know, I took what I had and I did a little bit each month until I had everything that I needed. And at that time, everybody was saying, oh, you need 1,000 paperback books to get started. You need at least 1,000 to get the best deal. Well, guess what? I couldn't afford 1,000 books. I could afford 400.
Right.
So the money I had, I bought 400 books, and I sold those in I got 400 books. I sold those in 4 months, took that money and bought another 400 books.
Uh-huh.
I sold those in 4 months and took that money and bought another 400 books. So you see the process.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. People, I hope you are taking notes, because she is definitely giving y'all a whole bunch of knowledge that you need.
So, I mean, there were some other things, but that financial was the biggest one for me, and I'm sure it's the biggest one. Everybody else. And even, like I said, even at this time, even though it's not as bad, because at this time, you know, you can do pre-orders now to get around the, you know, if you don't have everything to get your book out, go ahead and take pre-orders and get that money in. And then when you have enough money, then you can release your book or put out an e-book, because e-books are very inexpensive to produce. So put out an e-book that people buy your e-book for 3 months, and then you'll have enough money to get you 100 paperbacks or 500 paperbacks or whatever it is that you need.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So you can still have it all. You just can't have it all right now.
Okay. Now, that's important. Go ahead, Pat.
I was actually thinking about, you know, I got 2 books coming down the pipe that's been in editing for the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 months. So...
Well, what's that now? All I heard was I heard something about 2 books coming down the pipe.
Oh, I was thinking about what you were saying, because I have 2 books coming down the pipe that have been in editing for the last few months, and I had never really considered the idea of pre-ordering. You know, it just never occurred to me until you said that. So I was lost in thought. I apologize.
So, yeah, I mean, GoFundMe campaigns are very popular now, especially for books. You know, I was watching news the other day, and I saw this guy on there, very popular writer, talking about he was doing a GoFundMe campaign for his next book. So, you know, you can do the GoFundMe campaigns now while you got your book in editing. You know, keep that up for 2 or 3 months, and then take that money and... you know, produce your book, get your promotional products, or whatever you need. It just takes planning.
Yes, it does. But you're giving good ideas, good strategies, though. So that's why I'm glad you're here.
Okay, I'm trying. Hey, I'm trying.
Now you're doing a great job. Go ahead, Pat.
So, what's next for you?
What's next for me right now? I don't have any books that I'm working on. I have a folder that has book ideas I have, you know, because I'm always coming up with book ideas. I just haven't had time to sit down and write. What I'm concentrating on this year, I'm still concentrating on the business side especially with my new position as editor-in-chief at Book Cover Magazine, so that's taken up a great deal of time. But I'm also doing the consulting and, of course, the editing and the proofreading and coaching, you know, helping people write their books and get their books and that thing, that kind of thing out. So I still plan to write more books. It's just that I'm really taking my time with it.
Okay.
So whatever I have coming, it has to be quality.
Right. All right.
And if somebody wanted to contact you about editing or consulting or anything like that, where could they reach you?
Email would probably be the best. I'm at amanipublishing@aol.com. That's A-M-A-N-I publishing@aol.com. That's my business, Amani Publishing. And I'm also the co-founder of the Tallahassee Authors Network. I think Joseph mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
I started that about, well, September will be 9 years since we started the Tallahassee Authors Network.
And
that was just something that I wanted to start because at the time I had been traveling. You know, once my book came out, I had been traveling and doing a lot of promoting and stuff. And I was like, man, I just want to be home and do something in Tallahassee. So I just got some authors together, and we started talking, and we came up with the Tallahassee Authors Network, and it has just, you know, just grown from there. And we try to meet every other month and talk about what we're reading, what we're writing, and what's going on in the publishing industry, and just try to support one another.
Oh, yes. Good.
You're joining
good group.
That, right, Joe?
Yep. I'll be there this Saturday, 12 o'clock sharp.
We got you on record saying more than once.
Oh, no, trust me, I'm going to be there. Trust me, I got my mind made up.
No,
so.
I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to be asking questions.
I'm gonna take a picture when I get there and send it to you.
You're going to take a picture? Yeah, we take pictures. We post on Facebook the whole time.
There you go.
We try to motivate people. And we have we often have a YouTube channel. We have someone there who tapes the presentations and puts them up on our YouTube channel.
Okay. So Tallahassee Office Network.
Yeah, just type in Tallahassee Authors Network, and you should come up with our presentation. Because every other month we have a topic, and we have someone in the group who does a presentation or something.
Okay. I do want to ask this, with all this new technology and all these things that we have going on today, do you feel like the as far as on the writer's end, because I know you said the publishing has kind of been oversaturated, but as far as writers and new authors, I know there's an issue with writers just throwing books out, but do you think with the new technology that there is a oversaturation of new authors, or do you feel like that's good for the industry to keep stimulating new authors as much as possible?
Well, it is oversaturated with new authors, that's for sure. And I don't see how that's stimulating the industry if they're, you know, they're just throwing books out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how what advice would you give to someone who's a genuine writer who's serious about being an author, but they're in this day and time with all these authors, what advice would you give them to help them be more successful or even stand out from the crowd? I would say to stand out for the crowd.
Well, you know, the first thing is you have to, you know, have a quality product.
Mm-hmm.
And once you finish writing, you need to talk to an editor, somebody who can help bring that to life and make it the best that it can be before you jump out there into the publishing industry. And, you know, once you get out there, you have to, you know, make yourself stand out and by being yourself and having a social media presence. Like I tell people all the time, I was selling books before Facebook came out, but I've been selling a whole lot more books since I've been on Facebook.
Right.
And Instagram and all these other social media type places. So a lot of it had to do with the image that you present on social media and making sure that your books stand out and you stand out.
Okay. Well, people.
So because I see people with, you know, I've seen books with a lot of nice covers. But then when I opened them up, I was disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just enough to have a nice cover, because when I first started, everybody was saying, oh, you can tell a self-published book from the cover. So then self-published authors got smart and they started, you know, getting professional covers done. So, you know, we see some great self-published books with good covers, but then when we look underneath, it's like, oh, no. So you got to have the great cover, you got to have the great content, and then you have to have the personality to promote your books, because books don't promote themselves. A lot of people think that just because they have a book out, it's going to automatically fail.
Right.
And that's not true. You got to promote your book, and you got to go above and beyond when it comes to promoting. You can't just say you got a book out.
Right.
See that, Joe? You heard what she said?
Yeah. I hope you're listening too, because you got to.
Got
yeah, I'm just. Yeah, Patrick.
He got two books coming down the pipe, so he needs to be listening too, I know.
I'm trying to draw attention away from myself right now.
No, not this interview.
Yeah, really, not this interview, not with two books coming down the pipe.
Oh, man. So, all right, so it's time for our world-famous question. And we ask all of our guests this question.
Mm-hmm,
and this is Patrick's favorite question. And we kind of started off, we set it up a little like this. So.
So, if you were the all-powerful, all-controlling ruler of Black America, what would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
Oh, that's a pretty simple question for me. If I was the ruler for Black America, one thing I would change is that all students would be required to take business classes at an early age. And my message to the people would be entrepreneurship, because that's what we really need. We need more entrepreneurs.
That's why I love this question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
We need business classes. We need business classes. Middle school, business class. High school, business class.
Yes, ma'am.
And teach entrepreneurship. It's okay to have a job, but it's also okay to be an entrepreneur and have your own business. I've had businesses since I started college. When I started college, I never had a job. I was a typist. I had my own typing service that got me through college, by typing papers for other people. So I didn't have to go to anybody's job. Everybody was coming to me to type their research paper.
That's good.
So, yeah, so my message to the people is entrepreneurship. Even if you have a job, you need to have a side business. That's why I tell people, you know, publishing can be a part-time business or it can be a full-time business. Just make it a business.
Yes, ma'am. That's why I love this question, because we always get different answers from everybody. And I know Patrick is keeping a log of all the answers that we get.
Oh,
but it's a... Because we want to eventually like put something out so people can kind of see how different people from different walks of life feel about this one question and how they answer this question. And because you answer that through your experiences and what you learned and all these things. So that's why I know I love the question. So I appreciate, and I really appreciate your answer as well.
And it's a question that, you know, really makes you think, and you have to be passionate about.
Yes, ma'am. All right, so can you tell the people once again where they can? I know if you go to Amazon, I know this. If you go to Amazon and type in Barbara Jo Williams, all her information about all her books will come up. So make sure you do that. Go to Amazon. But also, can you give people once again your email address and places where they can other places if possible, your website or whatever, where they can find your books and learn more about you?
Okay. Yes, I also have my books on BarnesandNobles.com. But on Amazon.com, I have an author's page. So if you type in my name, one book may come up, but you can click on my name, it'll take you to my office page where it has all the books laid out for you real nice. And my email address is AmaniPublishing@AOL.com. And if you want to go to my website to see everything on my website, it's BarbaraJoe.webs.com. BarbaraJoe.webs.com is my website.
Yes,
and you can also contact me from the website, send me an email or whatever you need.
Yes, ma'am. People, you better take heed to this information.
What's up? Got a question real quick. I just want your opinion, Ms. Williams, Joe Williams. Do you think it's possible for somebody to write 70-plus quality books in 1 year?
In 1 year?
Yes.
No, I have to say not.
Thank you.
I mean, anything is possible, but, I mean, anything is possible, but personally, 70 books in 1 year? Maybe seven.
Yeah.
Maybe seven in 1 year, but 70?
That's a lot.
I don't know about that.
Okay. I asked because it's been something on my mind a lot lately. I bumped into a individual, and one of their claims to fame is that they published 70 books in 1 year.
Well, maybe they published that for other people. They published that many. They wrote and published that many for themselves.
They claim they wrote and published that many for themselves.
Well, then how long were the books? 10 pages each or 5 pages? I mean, you know, books can be 10 pages.
That's true. That is true.
Well, the e-books, they could have been just an e-book with 2 pages, man.
All right, we all had those questions.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you published 22, so I was like, you got a better frame of reference for what this entails. So, you know, let me just see if she says it's possible. Like, you know, that might change my opinion a little bit. But right now, I'm like, I don't believe that's possible. But thank you for answering the question. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, like I say, you know, anything is possible. But I mean, is it realistic?
Right.
It's not realistic. It might be possible, but that doesn't mean it's realistic.
Hey, I don't know.
Okay, looks like my time is almost up, and I have truly enjoyed spending time with
yes,
you guys.
Ma'am.
I can't wait to listen to the interview tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Our crowd got to show you some more love because you came through and got a lot of knowledge. So we truly, truly, truly appreciate you, and we definitely look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Okay, I'm here if you need me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having me. I really love you.
No problem. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Have a
thank
good one.
You.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Going down. Pat, that was, hey, man, if you're an author and you listen to this, you better have your notes out. Because she dropped a lot of great information. We learned a lot in this interview. So please make sure you go visit her website, email her, Tallahassee Authors Network. It's a Facebook page. You can like the page. I think there's a group, but make sure you email her and contact her and get as much information. If you're in the Tallahassee area, you got to do it. I mean, she dropped a lot of jewels. Jamie.
What's happening, man? She was actually pretty inspiring, man. It's a few little nuggets she dropped in there that actually was like, man, maybe I should write a little bit more. So that was actually dope. That was good.
But and she made it practical. She put practical sense to it and then didn't kind of fluff it up and kind of try to make it seem like, well, you know, this is some fly-by-night stuff. Now, she kept it honest about it, so.
Yeah, 22 books, so that's goddamn. I don't know if I got that much in me, man. I might just squeeze out a good,
nah,
I'd
you,
be like Dr. Dre with albums, one every 10 years or something, but goddamn.
Nah, you ain't
that's
doing
a lot of books.
She's a writer. That's what she does.
Yeah.
So that's what's
real
up.
Writer. Well, you know,
right.
And all of her books have a decent number of reviews on Amazon. So, you know, they
exactly.
all must be pretty substantial in terms of quality.
Right.
Like,
Right.
And her in the market that she writes for, that genre of you know, work, that's a lot of that's gonna catch on with a lot of women and things like that, you know, romance books and stuff like that. So she's got a nice little niche, you know, and she likes writing those type of books, so that's like super dope. I don't even know what genre I would go in. My shit would be like, I don't even know, man. Like urban nonsense. I would make up a new one for my ass.
Make a, like, I don't know, this urban rap, like, I don't know. Something I don't know.
I was about to start reading that excerpt I sent you guys offline.
Don't read that now. Hey, man.
Oh, man.
Everybody, remember, tune into the Freedom Train podcast series. Make sure you listen back for our playbacks on our Facebook page. We usually put our playbacks out every Wednesday on our Freedom Train Facebook page. Definitely, if you subscribe to iTunes or Google Play, it's going to come straight to your phone on the Wednesday. So y'all stay humble. Y'all be good to yourselves. And remember, a ship that sails backwards never sees the sunrise. So hold on.